This is an interview with Mrs. Jackson, who used to be primary school teacher at Weniston School and lived in Weniston a good many years.
Since
1962. 62. Did you, were you married and came here?
Yes, yes, I came. You know, I had an interview for the job because the headship was open at, well, it was advertised in the summer of 1962, of course. My husband and I decided that it would be much better for our children to live in the country.
And who did you take over the job from?
The previous head teacher, who was a Miss Elizabeth Stone, had left at Easter of 62, and Kathleen Swan had done a temporary headship for that term. Elizabeth Stone had been there 5 years.
What did your husband do for a living?
By trade, he was a printer, but he got the opportunity to go to a college in Oxford for a year, which was for trade union and working people, you see. And while he was there, he decided not to go back to printing. And he got a job in the psychology department of one of the London University colleges. When we came here, I had a year. He stayed in London, used to come home all the weekends, of course. He continued working. After that year, then he packed in the job. It was an arrangement he made because they were sorry to see him go. We acquired our first car as a result of his redundancy payment. In 1962, there were only two places for sale in Weniston. One was down on Blackheath, which we eventually had, and the other was that house by the chapel.
Was that quite a new bungalow when you came in there?
Fairly new, it was. I think it was built in 53.
Both your children were born then, were they, Robert?
They were born. When we came, Robert was 5 and Elizabeth was 2. Of course, they both came to Weniston School. See, when I started there was just Kathleen Swan and me. Then they closed Blythburgh School, and then we had a third teacher, and I think that was Marie Drew.
Well, she was definitely there when I was there.
Then it was Marie Drew. In that case, it would be 64.
Yes.
It'll be, when the new extension was opened and we had the Blythburgh children. It took 10 years, you know, from deciding to do it until it was all done. They didn't have consultations in those days. The Education Authority just decided. The only thing I was ever asked about was the curtains in the infants' room. Nothing about furniture. It's just interesting the way times have changed, especially as at the moment they're back to thinking about changing things in this area again, you know, to children staying at their first school till 11 and then going on to a high school. There was a meeting at our school just a week ago connected with the changes, and to give it was meant for anyone, parents and anyone who was interested in what was going to happen. It sounded to me as if this time they were much more prepared to consider the effect of a change, of a big change, going from a small to a bigger school.
How do you get the changes that you see in your teaching career, in your time of teaching, how that... you were always taught to call everybody Mr. and Mrs.
Yes.
And you did so until otherwise instructed.
Exactly. And when I think about Weniston School, the staff, we were never on Christian name terms, ever. And it wasn't till I didn't call Kathleen Swan Kathleen until really well after she'd finished at school and that I'd retired.
You still keep in touch with Kathleen Swan?
Oh, yes. After she was a year, she's lived in this village ever since she was a baby. And she went to the school. Her mum went to that school. Kathleen went to it. She became a pupil teacher there. I don't know if you know about pupil teachers, but there was, I don't think there's any such thing now, but very often, I think if a girl or a boy was promising, from about 16 to 18, they go away and train to be a teacher at 18. You'd be a pupil teacher at the school. And she was a pupil teacher there before she went off to do her training. I was just trying to think whether really they seem very different. I don't think really and truly I see a great deal of difference. And these days, they're encouraged to read at home, and they take whatever book they're on, they can take it home, and they have a little notebook, that sort of notebook, and the parent will write in what they've heard, just as, of course, I do. When I write in the same notebook. There's a lot of encouragement in that way. No, I haven't really seen such changes. Children are still children. I think one would see it much more, not so much in school, but out of school.
I can remember when we was at Wenniston Primary School, you let us school, I think that was a lunchtime, we all gathered in the hall, and we see Neil Armstrong walk on the moon.
Yeah.
Now, what did your father do then, and your mother? Oh. Where did they originate from?
Well, our mother came from Suffolk. And
whereabouts would that be?
Well, a village on the borders of Norfolk and Suffolk called Hopton. So when we were really little, we would go to stay with her, well, our grandparents. This is as long ago, so long ago that when we got to Dis, we had to have a pony and trap to take us to the village. Now, in the 1930s, see, that's going back to the 1920s. In the 1930s, they started running a bus, from London, and they happened to go through that village, so that made things a lot simpler. But then we were that bit older, so we didn't. It was in those early in the 1920s. Father, he was Cornish. His family came from Penzance. What happened, I think, was that his father, as I say, was a builder by trade. I don't know, he had one daughter and four sons. Certainly my father learnt the bricklaying trade, which, I mean, he could still use when he did one or two little jobs at Wenniston. I think that was when London was beginning to spread and Southall was beginning to develop. And so he came up, just the way any tradesman or somebody would, and began to build houses in Southall. He didn't live to a very great age. He died, I think it was in his 40s, quite early. So we went down to Cornwall when I was 13. Just imagine taking three children. There were three girls and then my brother as a baby. You think of the cost of taking all this down there. Mother was always keen on Suffolk and obviously infected her children. But father never went on about Cornwall. Father was wounded in the First World War. He, I gather he didn't get on awfully well with his father, but he joined the army. So he was in the army, the Royal Engineers, before the war started, and he got wounded out. After that war, just as, I suppose, with the Second World War, there was some sort of arrangement whereby firms took on some of the ex-soldiers, Father's wounds were down the side, he actually started off as a commissionaire, and then he went into the office and became a clerk. That's what he did. Worked for Shell Mex and BP. He must have been pretty tough. I mean, he was scarred for the rest of his life, but on his left side. But nevertheless, he survived into his 80s. And, we moved, and there were bad years. You hear references to the 1930s now. They got, people's money went down and all that. We knew about, we weren't poor, but we knew what it was like to manage. And I'm very glad we did, because it's better later on that you've known, when you really got to think about what you were doing. They moved to Southall in Middlesex, into one of the, well, actually, it was the family being helpful. Families are very good. And father and mother moved into a house in a row that his father had built, if you follow me. Father had died by then. And so we lived in Southall, which is in, I don't know if there's such a place as Middlesex any longer, but it was called Middlesex in those days.
Right.
I think it might be the outskirts, West London now. That's where, eventually, at about 9, I went to school. And Southall was Labour, even in those days, which was a bit unusual, really. I suppose they started doing the... It wasn't called the 11 plus in those days. It was the scholarship. And but they did start... I was 9 when we got there. And they started having what eventually became the 11 plus. But it did mean that I went to what later would have been called a grammar school. But it also meant that I had that sort of education, you see.
Yes.
I had that education up to 18.
During the war, did you have to move out of London?
No. Well, you see, during the war, I was in a... I'd have joined up if I hadn't been in a reserved occupation. Because I always wanted to try things out. We stayed in Southall. There was a bit of bombing, but nothing too bad. And, of course, we had air raid... We had Anderson shelters in the garden. And I can remember going... when the real severe bombing was on in London, I can remember going to the local railway bridge and looking... And you could see the fires.
I mean, right.
You could see the glow in the sky. I also got a job, still teaching, of course. My first job was in an area of really northish London, which had been badly bombed. And I shifted from that to work locally in Southall because it meant I could walk to school. By then, I wanted to do a degree. One of the London colleges, Birkbeck, still on the go, does evening classes. Well, because it was the war and because the place had been bombed, it was evacuated to the city, and it operated on Saturdays and Sundays. And wasn't that convenient? You see, I could go up Saturday and...
You didn't get a student grant?
Oh, no. It's incredible when you think about when I think about what pay was then, and it was enough to live on. It was 100... When my first earnings, when I started teaching, were £180 a year. And you could live on it. That's the thing. All right, I was living at home, but all the same, I was okay. But then, of course, if you went on a bus, it might only be tuppence. I sometimes look at things when I'm thinking about what things cost. Bananas, for instance, they're about 20 pence or more each. Then you can think back to the days long ago when they were, well, I don't know what they cost in your youth, but I can go further back to about a penny. The increase is enormous, isn't it?
And where did you meet your husband in this path of...
in Southall, at a WEA class. You know, those are the classes we're having here on at the moment on a Friday morning. It's WEA, and it amuses me to think I met him at a class. And I think that class was one about, well, it was art and architecture, I think. And the first holiday we took together before we were married was to Rome. So I was lucky, wasn't I? I suppose we were both lucky to meet someone where you had tastes really in common. 1952, that was. I always kept a diary of my foreign holidays. And I read them over when it comes to that time of the year again. And I'm glad I do, because, of course, there's lots of things that one forgets. So we were very lucky when we thought it would be much better for our children to be brought up in the country. He was in favour of Hampshire, really. He'd been posted to, at some point in the war. In the war, he was on an early expedition to, what was it, Norway and that. And I suppose between then and going to India, he was stationed in Hampshire. And he didn't feel he wanted to go up. He wanted us to go up to Newcastle, which was his home part. But he thought he liked Hampshire. So we looked at jobs, you see, because as he said to me, you're the one that could get the job if we want to go and live in the country. Because, and of course, I was well qualified, because I'd been a teacher and I'd done a degree during the time and a further, you know, that kind of thing. So I was very well qualified. And we looked in the educational supplement to the Times and found to look to see where jobs were. Well, there was this one, and there was one in Hampshire. But this one came up first, and I got offered the job. Then I was asked for an interview at the other one, but we'd accepted this, so that was that.
And you got married in...
53.
Yeah. Well, where did you marry? Which church?
Oh, we didn't. It was the registry office. We didn't have a grand wedding. During the war, I was used to go into London every weekend because I was doing my degree there. I didn't know Wilf, of course. He, after the war, had gone down to live with Phoebe. So he too. I've got loads of theatre programmes from his theatre going. And then, of course, eventually, when we met, we found... We then would quite often go together.
Yes.
And until we came here in 1962, see, we married. Well, really, I suppose we stopped, of course, being real theatre goers once we had Robert in 57. But we still were able to go because my mother was nearby. So we were theatre goers.
So what does your son Robert do now?
He's a lecturer at University of Kiel, which is up in the Midlands, Crewe way. He's been there now for 20 years anyway, perhaps longer.
And is he married? And
yes, he's married. He's one of the ones that got married not very late-ish. Well, he was well into his 30s. Same as his dad, really. And Elizabeth works in London. There are no children there either. Both she and her husband work in London. They live in Sevenoaks in Kent. She always said she didn't fancy to be a teacher. It's interesting. You see, Robert is a teacher, really. One of the advantages of doing what I did was you could take your work and you could be with your kids, and when they'd gone to bed, you could do your marking and preparation and all that. She's not an accountant, that she works for a firm of accountants. Well, I have two sisters, and it is quite remarkable to me, because here I am, 88. The next one is 87, and the next one is 86.
Right.
It's incredible. I think so, anyway. And then there's John, who came later. The sister next to me lives in Stanton towards Bury St Edmund. Miscellaneous school photos, dates on the back. Here we are.
Yeah, that's me on there. That's my school year.
And have you got a copy of that?
That is on the website, that one.
What about this one? Now, these were taken after that infants class opened, 1969 to 70. That was the... let me see. Ah, no, that's my lot, of course. Do you recognise any of them? I mean, Tony...
Fulford,
that's right. Susan Wythe, is that Colin Parker?
Might be.
Well, look, you know who that is. That's the Stammers, isn't it? Is that Dale Stammers?
No, it'd be Paul.
Paul Stammers, right?
Paul Stammers and maybe Kevin... No, it might be Peter Church over there.
Well, it could be... there are two views. See, there's this one as well. They're both out of that classroom.
Trevor English.
Yes. That is Colin Parker, you know, sitting next to Susan. You look at that one, don't you?
Yeah, that's Young Stag.
Yeah.
Coloured boy. I wonder who that would
be. That would be Michael Ridsell. And those are the twins. Do you remember they were the twins?
Karen and Leslie?
Yes, that's
Spence?
It. Yeah.
I wonder if that's Roger Kett with his head down.
I don't know.
And that girl there, I think, is Laura Williams.
Yes, I thought so. I thought that. I was going to ask you that. But what about the one sitting opposite?
Well, how come you've got two different ages? Because the... The twins were a year older than...
Yeah, no.
Trevor English,
if you think about there being three teachers in the school...
Right.
...for an age range of, well, at this stage, of course, they were there till they were 11.
That's right.
And I think I actually had 9s, 10s and 11s.
Yes.
Mari Drew will have had the 8s and 9s. No, 7s and 8s.
Roy Bork.
Yes.
Marty Canham.
Yep.
Robert Noakes. Roger Gibson. Yep. Gary Wise. Yes. Tina Mutter.
Yep. No. No,
Linda,
no.
Linda Barrett.
Linda Barrett. That's it.
Here's a Canham, Stevie Canham, I suppose it is.
Let's have a look.
It's definitely a
that's
Canham.
That's Russell Wise. Yes, you're right.
And
you're
that's
right.
That's Russell Wise. I thought that boy Spence would have been on here.
Mm.
Malcolm English, that is that Malcolm?
What, this one?
Yeah.
I'm not sure.
They all look happy.
Oh, they all look ever so cheerful.
Is the tree still
they?
There? That's in the playground, isn't it?
I don't think so. Oh, yes, they. Some of those trees are. Yes, yes. They are. Yeah.
That's Elizabeth Fulford.
That's right.
That.
That's right. And that's the Lond... What's her name?
Jackie Revel.
Yes.
Oh, we got one on the farm thrashing
well, yes.
here.
Yeah.
My good self and my father.
Yeah.
Mr. Green, Lancey Green. Mr.
Yeah.
Sam Collier.
Yeah.
And I think the other one on the
I
stack
think it
is
was your mum rang us up and let us know, and we brought the children down.
Yes, I got some pictures of that.
I thought you would have.
74, was it? I wondered when that was.
Yeah. 1982, to celebrate 100 years. 1882, when it was opened. See, I finished in 1981, the year before that. And these were there, well, there before I left, 1981.
Thomas Desborough, Marcus Allen, look at him.
Yeah.
Ian Walland.
Oh.
Mrs. English give it to me. Trevor's mother. I went and had a word with her.
Oh, good. That was the infants class.
Scotty Baxter.
No, yeah.
Alistair Spindler.
Mrs. Deer, of course. And that was Ruth Jackson, who came after Barry Drew. And all these were taken... In 81, you see.
All right.
Yes, well, that was the last, that was my last class, of course. So Carl Andrews, Joe Cross, and that's Michael Ritzel, of course, isn't it?
Yes, but there is one girl Flint there, because that's a girl Flint. And
yeah, well, the queer thing
the youngest
was,
one.
The last child he brought to our school.
I don't know, but I think that's me on this picture.
I think you might be. I think you might be. But it's hard to...
That looks like me sitting down there in any case.
Which one?
That bloke there, right on the end.
Yeah.
Oh, that's the when they went to Blythe, but that one is
now,
there,
here's
isn't
the
it?
Little ones. I think most of those would have been taken by Wilf.
Yes, Glenn Hammond. That's Heather Hammond's daughter.
What, Denise?
No, Lindsay.
Oh, Lindsay.
Yeah.
Paul
Ward, Kevin Walker, Paul Stamos, Colin Parker, Peter Church. This is when they went to Blythburgh, weren't this took at Blythburgh?
Yes. Is that was them with their recorders?
Yes.
Yeah.
There's my brother, Trevor Stamos. I've seen this one in a different format. Oh. With Trevor. Oh,
one
maybe
of
this
them
one.
Has got. Yeah.
Trevor Stamos, Stephen Brabham.
Oh, yeah. one of those little ones has got all the children's signatures on. But
Mandy Cannon
yeah,
on there.
That's it.
Stephen Brabham, definitely. Yeah. Lindsay Hammond. Is that Robert, that
yeah.
one? There's Trevor.
Yeah.
Robert Allen. Alan Musk. Kenny Watson.
Oh, yes.
Buster. Stephen Brabham. Well, that bloke don't change at all. David Farrington. Trevor Stamos. Bridget Hammond. Oh, that's the one
yes.
I didn't know.
She was there. Oh, Susan Gibson there.
Yes.
And Anne Knapsine.
Ah, that's the girl. I couldn't remember
that's
her.
That's her, isn't it?
Yes.
And that's Steve Martin Elmy, Trevor Stamos. Yeah.
So you must be reading to the grandchildren now when they come up and...
Oh, it just... Oh, that's one of the things that is ever so interesting when I get children of children I taught. I had, it would be, I suppose it might be about 10 years ago when it seemed to me that, I mean, I've had, because I saw Trevor's children, Trevor Stammer's children at playgroup, because I went to playgroup for over a good many years. Colin Parker's boys, I've listened to them read. Mandy Canham's daughter works in some way at the school. But there have been several, of course. Yes. Oh, well, of course, Lindsay Savage, as she now is. She was Lindsay yes. Brown, of course, as her children. Yes, we got a few people, you know, who stayed in the village, haven't we?
Yes.
Or stayed around, which is nice.
And then you retired from teaching in...
Yes, 81. Well, I wanted to have a few years with Wilfred. Not that there was any suggestion that he wouldn't go on for years and years or anything like that, but it just seemed to me that, after all, I was 61 by then. And I'm glad I did, of course. In those years, while I was still in teaching, decisions were made by the local authority. They dealt with pay and employment. Nowadays, the head has, I expect it's limited control, but nevertheless, that's the head's job.
So what do you fill your day with nowadays? And you go up with the school?
Well, I go, yes. There's the ordinary living, you know what I mean.
Yes.
Dealing with day-to-day living. I go shopping, on the whole, once a week. And now I don't drive anymore, of course. And it's difficult, isn't it? We've got no shops in our village.
No.
We've got a post office, yeah, thank God. Five mornings.
Yes.
5 mornings of the week. But otherwise, and we can buy vegetables from Ted Woods, and we do have milk delivered. So that's about it, isn't it? Oh, we have newspapers delivered. When we came, we had catch poles. We had at least half a dozen shops, plus, of course, the DIY shop. And one could, of course, the only thing about shopping is. And using the bus, is you've got to cope with carrying it. And that's all right while you're, you know, in reasonable shape. But that's how I manage.
And you've seen some changes in the village?
Well, in a way, yes. I mean, it's these little building, bits of building. There's opposite the school, more or less. There's four bungalows.
Hammond's Court, yes.
Yes, and then there's where Joan Smith lives. That goes back something close, doesn't it? Named after Heather Phillips' uncle, who was parish clerk.
Roberts.
That's yes, it. That's right. You got it. Yes. And there's that. There's at the back of Mrs. Swan's.
Yes, that's changed, hasn't it?
Yeah. But then, of course, there's the latest one, really. Of course, there's been development along Narrow Way. And then, of course, way back in the 60s, there was this.
Yes.
Round here. The first bit, quite a big bit of development. Did you know that they really hoped they put in for a planning application for building another road, sort of parallel to this one, so that sort of at the back of these, they actually kept a bit of land ready for it, but permission was apparently refused. So now, of course, there's that bit down Cold's Hill. As you walk along the street, the beginning, imagine coming from Blyford, I mean, certainly there is this enormous house. Is it called Heron's something? Opposite Kathleen Swan's. There's that. But when you got past, which is quite noticeable, but when you got past that, as you go along, there's not obvious change, is there? I mean, all right, we no longer have the paint shop, but it's not especially noticeable that we don't. And anyway, there's Tim and Eileen Heaps there with
That's
their
it.
Office. But as you go along, and so lots of these bits of development are off the street, aren't they? So it really doesn't look, I don't think it looks very different, which is nice. Yeah.
So what other groups do you go belong to?
WI.
Right.
These days, a few years after I finished at school, I joined that.
Where do you meet? In the village hall? Or
yeah, village hall once a month. It's the first Wednesday in the month. That's how that's worked.
Many, many members?
Oh, it's gone up lately. We're about
right.
50 or 60. It you used to be, I think it was the middle 80s, might have been before then, after I retired, I expect. It was around about 30-odd, but I suppose it's doubled. WI, bell ringing, of course, I finished. But we got a new lot of bell ringing. Yeah, that includes Rebecca Canner, which is nice. It'd be nice to get to have the bells going again. See, what happened was that For several years, we were very lucky in Wenniston. There was me, Joan Johnson, Dorothy Franklin, Geoffrey Halls, Peter Barrett, and Sheila Hake. And we all lived in Wenniston, and it was fine. Well, then, while we were local, and Barbara Naunton learned as well, and that was very good. But with the death and the moving, it left us with a small group. When we started, which was in the late 70s, of the group that started, I was a survivor. And for a long time, in bell ringing, you call the one in charge of tower captain. And for a long time, I was that. Well, then we got this other group, and I thought, well, the years are passing. And Joan Johnson took over. Now, when our numbers got low, she felt we were too small a group, so we stopped ringing on Sundays. Would occasionally ring with one or two helpers on some special occasion. Joan does, with this new group that's starting, she's there. Dorothy will ring if there's anything special on. I belong to a book group. There are at least three reading or book groups in Wenniston. In fact, I think it's now four. There's one that apparently has met down at the Star for quite a long time. There's this little one that I go to. And then the WI, someone at the WI started one, and I think they've now gone into two. Isn't that nice? Because ours is quite a small group, we just meet at each other's houses. Pat Kemsley's, for instance, this afternoon it was. We have a drop-in these days on the second and fourth Wednesday mornings. And I do try to go to that because I think it's such a good idea in a village to have somewhere where you can just go and see people, have a chat. I'm surprised more people don't do it. There was a time, I suppose, when a lot of this could happen quite naturally in shops. You know, I still go into school and listen to children read once a week, and have done almost ever since I retired, not quite, because I used to go and help at the playgroup. Their reading up at school is ever so good.